brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The readings for today are readings that, as always, they're very good, but they're also readings that call us on. And so, of course, all of Scripture calls us on, but there's a particular way that the readings call us on today. So I would ask you to listen attentively. And when you find yourself, when you hear some part of the Scripture and you find yourself kind of ignoring it or balking against it or questioning it, whatever, if you find that happening, just jot it down on a piece of paper and then go back and read it in context in Scripture and see what it is. Because oftentimes when God speaks, His word challenges us. We don't like to be challenged. We just want to do some holy, pious thing and we'll read the Scriptures today. But God's word is living. God's word is active. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, says Scripture. It both wounds and heals. But we have to allow that word to come into our lives, not just into our thoughts for the moment, but really that the word comes in and begins to take root in us. And it changes us because the word of God is living and active. So I would ask you today, and as you listen to the programs this week, I just want to encourage you, listen. What is God saying to me? What is God asking of me? Why am I reacting here? Why am I angry? Why am I crying? Why do I just want to get up and walk away? What is the word doing in me? Sometimes it makes us weep for joy. Sometimes it gives us new hope and new life. That's its intention. But it has to get through our obstacles first, the things that we put up, that it's an attempt, and many times not even a conscious attempt, to shut God out. We don't want to hear because it's going to call us to make a change, and we don't want to make a change. So just listen to yourself a little bit as you hear these readings. Where do you react negatively? Where do you react positively? Pay attention to that. The book of the prophet Jonah today, chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and then chapter 2, verse 11. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah made ready to flee to Tarshish away from the Lord. So he didn't want to do the Lord's bidding. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went aboard to journey with them to Tarshish away from the Lord. Now here's a very good example of what I'm just talking about. The Lord asks something of him and he knows it's going to cost, so he doesn't want to do it. The Lord, however, hurled a violent wind upon the sea, and in the furious tempest that arose, the ship was on the point of breaking up. We've seen a lot, haven't we, in the last months with the effects of hurricanes and tornadoes. And the ship here was on the point of breaking up. And then the mariners became frightened, and each one cried to his gods, or so many idols. So each one of them turned to his god. And to lighten the ship for themselves, they threw its cargo into the sea. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship and lay there, fast asleep. The captain came to him and said, "What are you doing asleep? Rise up, call upon your God. Don't be sleeping, pray, ask your God. Perhaps God will be mindful of us so that we may not perish." And then, a little bit later, they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots to find out on whose account we have met with this misfortune." Why are we dealing with this? How many times in the last number of weeks, months, have we asked ourselves the same question when the tornadoes and the hurricanes come? Have we asked the question, on whose account? Now, they're asking, they want a particular person, but how often have we said, where am I not following the Lord? Where am I being disobedient? Why has this tempest come upon us, this storm? Because we're all one race, we're all one people. We're all one people, many races, but one people. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what have we done wrong? Because it's so often it's the innocent who suffer for the sins of others. Need to look at this. So they cast lots. They're looking for who do we think is the cause of our trouble? And they singled out Jonah. How? I don't know why, but they did, and they were right. Tell us, they said, what is your business? Where do you come from? What is your country? And to what people do you belong? And Jonah answered them, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now the men were seized with great fear and said to him, how could you do such a thing? They knew that he was fleeing from the Lord because he had told them earlier in a conversation, I'm getting away from God. And they say to him, how could you do such a thing? And they ask, what shall we do with you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea was growing more and more turbulent. Jonah said to them, pick me up. Throw me into the sea that it may quiet down for you, since I know it is because of me that this violent storm has come upon you. Do you see the honesty? Do you see the honesty of Jonah? Do you see? He's facing his guilt. He's facing his mistake. He's being willing to admit. Are we willing to admit when we make mistakes? When we sin, we fail. Brothers and sisters, God wants to give us the grace and the freedom to do that so that we're set free. Really, we'll be set free from so much when we're honest before the Lord. Still, the men rowed hard to regain the land, but they could not, for the sea grew ever more turbulent. Then they cried to the Lord, we beseech you, O Lord, let us not perish for taking this man's life. Do not charge us with shedding innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done as you saw fit. And they took Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the seas raging abated. Struck with great fear of the Lord, the men offered sacrifice and made vows to him. But the Lord sent a large fish that swallowed Jonah, and Jonah remained in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And from the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Then the Lord commanded the fish to spew Jonah upon the shore. Now, there's a lot in that passage. A lot. Jonah, in a certain sense, died. He did not, but in a certain sense, he was entombed in the belly of a large fish. I wouldn't want that. And he didn't know whether God would hear him or not. Because he had sinned, and yet God did. Learn from that much. There's much more to come with Jonah, but for now, just learn from that much. Are you honest about yourself? Are you honest when you fail with God and with others, with yourself? Doesn't mean you have to go around with the trumpet announcing your sin. But facing the consequences of your sin is important, and the effects that many times our sin has on others. God wants to set us free from that. You will rescue my life from the pit, O Lord. Jonah chapter 2. It's worth reading. Out of my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He answered me. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer reached you in your holy temple. God will always forgive. God will always bring back. And Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What's written in the law? How do you read it? He said in reply, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now notice that, brothers and sisters, not just a token, but with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. There's the law, and God gives the power. He replied to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan, the one they didn't relate to, but a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. He lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins, big money in those days, and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? And he answered, the one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. Hasn't Jesus forgiven us our sin? Hasn't he restored us? That when we admit our faults and our failings, he wipes them away. He doesn't hold them over us. He reaches out to heal us and restore us, even when the wounds we carry are our own fault. So the question is, are we doing what God is doing for us? Are we doing for others? Or do we just ignore God? We don't actively believe in him. We can scoff and ridicule and make jokes, but we really don't believe in him. Are we in that boat? Or are we in the boat of sincerely seeking the Lord? We go to Mass every Sunday. We do what we're told to do. But we really don't have a living relationship with God that God wants to do in us and to work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a relationship with God as your Father, as your Savior, as your brother, as your Messiah, as your Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with him? God wants to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, as Jesus is alive in us, we are able to care for others. We're able to bind up their wounds. We're able to be generous on our part with our time and our talent and our treasure to serve and to care for others. That's what God wants. That's what God is asking of us. Please take an inventory of your life. Are you open about your sin with the right people? Are you repenting? Are you opening your heart to grow in your relationship with God? Because God will surely enter in to your life. As you repent, God will enter in more deeply and draw you to himself. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.